someone in this place. I really feel like there's also someone who, you know, maybe feeling in the thick of it. You know, you feel like you're in this like dark hallway, and you just, man, you can't see the end. But you feel like you've been on this journey, but you serve faithful, and you come to church, and you pray, and you read your Bible, but you just have this looming challenge or issue, kind of like that, just hangs over your head, and you just, you can't kick it. Whether if it's a habit, or whether it's just, if it's anxiety or whatever it might feel like, but you just feel like, man, there is no end to this thing. And I came to tell you that there is an end, and God has you. And just keep going, son, daughter, I'm proud of you, I love you, and together we will do this. God, remember like we talked about last week, you just cry out to Jesus, and he's reaching out his arm. And we can't look at the surroundings, we can't look at what current circumstances, we just have to know that we're in his hand, and he's going to lift us up, amen? All right, so I just wanted to share that one thing, that was before we get into the message, that was before any of that. But I am so excited. Again, my name is Antonio. Thank you for all the birthday love. It's been a great week. Thank you to my wife who made it a special week, and to my friends and loved ones and coworkers and everyone. Yeah, you guys know how to honor people, and that's really cool. I feel really special as we celebrate another year. I'm really excited. Year number 35 is going to be awesome. Yeah. Hopefully none of you guessed 35, because that would not be good. But anyways, no, that's all right. I'm 35. I'll wear it. Badge of honor. I can't say early 30s anymore, because, mid-30s now. Mid-30s. So, I'm excited for the year ahead. I believe it's going to be a good year, and I don't believe I'm the only one. I think it's going to be a good year for all of us. Amen. Any other June birthdays? Shout-outs to our June birthdays. What's up? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Awesome. July. Okay. Oh, it's summer. All month long, we'll be here celebrating. All right. So, I just want to, you know, kind of fill maybe some of you in. We are in week three or part three of our What Now series. And I hope that you guys have had as great a time as I have had over the past few weeks, kind of just delving into and diving into what we see in the Word of God in regards to encounters with Jesus. You know, we looked at some stories of some people who met Jesus, and then what now? What happens to their life? Because we're asking ourselves, how does that apply to me? What now for my life? I've heard about this guy, Jesus, you're talking about. I met him. I became a disciple, or whatever it might look like for you. I don't know who Jesus is to you, but we're going to have some conversation about him, and maybe that can change tonight. But what happens once you have an encounter? And so we see different kinds of stories. We've looked at a couple different types already. We saw Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was this wealthy tax collector who was not a Jesus follower. He knew of Jesus, he had heard of the reputation of Jesus and got to know him, had an encounter, and it changed his entire life. And then you have a disciple who's this young man who had been following him, for he was in his third year of following Jesus as a disciple when we saw that he walked on water and what that encounter meant for him. And so tonight we're going to look at another story, but what I want us to see is kind of like the diversity of the people who are encountering Jesus. It's kind of like what we see in the place tonight. And I'm not just talking about cultural or ethnic diversity. I'm talking about, we have younger and old. It's young adults, right? We have from 18 to early 30s or 30-ish, right? And so we're in different ages. We're in different seasons of life. Some are graduating school. I graduated school almost 15 years ago. I graduated from college. So like some people are just graduating high school. Some people are graduating from college. Some people are into their career, and some people are engaged. Some people are newlywed. Some people are have young families. So we're all in different seasons, and we're all in different places in our walks with God, right? We have some new believers. We have some young Christians, and we have people who have been following Jesus a while. We have some people who have been following Jesus a while, but yet they're still trying to figure out what that looks like. So we're all coming from different places, but guess what? What we've seen in these stories, and what we're going to see again tonight, is that God meets us right where we're at. He's not waiting for us to attain a certain level, to graduate with a certain type of degree, to make sure that we qualify before, you know, have this height before you can ride the Jesus ride. No, I mean, God will meet you right where you're at, and we see that time and time again in the Bible. So if you would, go with me. Actually, real quick, I forgot. We've been having some challenges the past couple weeks. And last week, if you remember, our challenge was kind of like stepping out of the boat, how we took some time to focus on how we might be able to step out of the boat, what that could look like. Did anybody find themselves stepping out this week? Anybody? Yeah, a couple people. All right, maybe you don't want to boast. It's all good. Or maybe you didn't find yourself. That's okay. We are going to continue with some challenges because we are not spectators. We're not coming to warm some seats. We're not coming to have to just kind of have fun and meet up with Jesus in these four walls. We are the church wherever we go. Amen. So we're going to continue to celebrate when we have those encounters. We're going to continue to celebrate when we have those opportunities to share our faith, when we have those opportunities to tell somebody about Jesus, to pray with somebody. And maybe your stepping out challenge was just, again, remember we talked about, maybe it's just letting your coworkers in on the secret that you're a Christian, or maybe it not being a secret anymore. So that's some of our stepping out. So we're going to continue with our challenges because I believe that stretches us, you know, and we'll celebrate you. We're not judging you if you didn't do a challenge, or we're not judging you if you maybe fell short, or if you, you know, don't beat yourself up if you didn't quite get to what you wanted to do. Hey, we're here to live another day, and that's great. We'll try again. So here we are. I want to go with a new encounter this week. We're going to look in Mark chapter 6, if you would turn with me, please. Mark chapter 6. And actually, we're going to put it on in the New King James. So if I could get that up. So remember, last week we were, Peter and Jesus walked on water. They fed the 5,000. They get in the boat. He walks on water. And then Jesus stays in the boat this time. And now, this is just the same sequence of stories. They get back, Jesus gets in the boat, and they all together go onto the other side. So here we are in verse number 53. And it says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Didn't I say that right? Gennesaret. And they anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry out on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid to the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. As many as touched him were made well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's in this place, Lord God. We thank you for freedom. That is where your presence is at. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness that is here in the place as well, Jesus. I just pray, Lord God, tonight that I would just step aside and allow you to let me be a vessel in which you would speak to your people. Holy Spirit, take over the service tonight, Lord God, as you have done so well already. And just speak to each person right where they're at, Lord God, what they need to hear, Lord God. Challenge them, stretch them, encourage them. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for what you have already done and what you will continue to do this evening. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. So this story, I couldn't help but it reminded me of another story in the Bible, right? We see that they had the people, they recognized Jesus, and they said, that's Jesus. They had heard about him, right? Some people might have even witnessed what happened on the other side of the water, of the Sea of Galilee, and they're recognizing, man, this guy is Jesus. This guy is the one who can heal people. This guy is the miracle worker. Let's go get everybody that's sick and just line them up. Take them to the marketplaces. And again, it was saying wherever, whatever, if he went into the villages, if he went to the cities, wherever he was going to go, he was going to heal people. Well, it reminded me of, you guys remember Elisha? Go with me in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Elisha, the prophet, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go 2 Kings chapter number 4. We're here with the prophet Elisha, not to be confused with Elijah. And he's here with the poor widow. I'm going to read, this is the NLT, but it'll be different on the screen. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how," "how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked, "Tell me what to do. What do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing her jars, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more, Mom." She didn't say Mom, but he told her. And then olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on whatever is left over." Now, what an awesome story. What an example of God's power and his miracle-working power and the prophet's ability to help this woman who was in need. Her children, her sons were going to go into slavery, and she needed to pay off the creditors so they wouldn't do that. And so, awesome Elisha, awesome God. One thing I want to take, and I'm not undermining anything from this story, but what I want to highlight or what I want to look at tonight is the idea and the focus is that when the jars ran out, the oil ran out, right? But what I want us to see is that the oil didn't run out first. So the oil represents the anointing of God. So I pose the question or the thought that it's not a matter of whether or not God is big enough, but whether about how big we believe God to be in our lives. See, because God's oil, so to speak, his access is infinite. Right, he has all the oil that we need, but it's just how big, how much can we contain in our lives? How big can we believe God to be? What do we, you know? Sometimes maybe our backgrounds have led us to believe I just need enough for this, or I don't want to ask of too much, or I don't believe that God can. You know, we've only rented, so I would never believe to buy a house. Because that's crazy, because you got to come up with down payment, and the news says that interest rates are going up, and I'd have to spend this and that. So I don't think I could ever buy a house, or I don't know if I'll ever get out of debt, or I have this thing that my mom put this in my name, and I don't think I'll ever get my credit up, or student loans are just wearing me down. Well, how big is God to you? Because God is infinite. It's running over. He has this infinite amount of blessing that he has for you, of anointing that he wants to pour out on your life. But what kind of jars are we bringing him? How many jars are we bringing him? Are we bringing him enough? Is it just, again, is it the idea of just enough? I don't want to ask for too much, or I don't know if I can believe for too much. So we see in the story with Jesus and who he's healing, everyone who was brought, he was healed. And then here we see the oil. All the jars that were brought to the man of God, to the prophet of God, were filled with oil. There was enough. And once they were full and there was no more vessels in which to put the oil stopped flowing. So I have a thought. I have a thought because I don't know if you remember when Reverend Teresa here, she said something so amazing, that God meets us at the level of our expectation. God meets us at the level of our expectation. What can we expect from God? What can we believe God for? Just to get by? To have a so-so day? You know, I know what I deserve, so I shouldn't ask or expect of God for too much. I'm just glad he saved me. I'm just fortunate that, I mean, given my history, that he washed away my sins. He didn't even have to do that much. But did you know that God talks about it time and time again? You have been made heirs with Christ. So that means just like any father leaving behind an inheritance to his child, you get the inheritance. So we have been grafted in, and maybe there's some Jewish people with Jewish background on here, but otherwise we're all Gentiles for the rest of us. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we would not have the promise. But because of Jesus, we have been grafted into the family and to the bosom of Abraham, and we are now co-heirs with Christ. So everything that Jesus had as the Son of God, we have as the Son of God. We are children, daughters, and sons of the King. So we have access and we have availability to meet up with God, to believe for whatever God would have for us. But that statement or the idea that the level of our expectation, God will meet us there. Well, I mean, wouldn't you know, there was that story the other day of like, or maybe, does anyone do OfferUp or Craigslist? Have anyone ever sold anything? I don't know if you're like me, but if you ever sold anything on OfferUp or eBay or Craigslist, like, man, that sold kind of quick. I probably could have asked for a little bit more. Right, has anyone ever done that? Oh, or maybe on the other end, if you've bought something, it was 50, I offered 40. He said, yes, I probably could offer 30. Right? So maybe you wonder, like, your negotiation skills. I wonder what, I feel like sometimes we do that with God. Our expectation is just like, oh man, I'll just expect for this, you know, like, I'll just expect that, you know, I have a good day. But I don't know that I'm prepared or I have enough faith to believe that God would actually want to bless me or give me over and above. I don't know if I shared with you, but I had a lemon law. Did I tell anybody about this? So I had a car that was not treating me very good. And I remember I was driving and I was upset with this car because it was like I was going up the Yucaipa Hill. And the Yucaipa Hill is not all that of a hill. It's not a mountain or anything like that. It's just kind of a little bit. And also I was like, and my car was like revving up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this car has become, it's a lemon. This car has become horrible. And I was like, God, I don't want to drive a crappy car. Man, this car is paid off. I already paid a lot of money for this thing. Can I tell you, I wasn't being like prosperity gospel. I was just believing that, man, I believe God wants me to have a reliable car. Come on, does anybody else believe God wants a good thing for them? I know that God doesn't want me to feel like, oh my gosh, I just want to place point A to point B. That's good to be grateful. I'm not bagging on grateful. But how many know God, man, God wants good things for you. Man, I have a young son. I want my son to be laced up, man. I remember like, yeah, I get him Jordans and he messes them up. Like I get him a few pairs of shoes because I want him to have nice things. And I'm not talking about get all the name brands, but we want good things for people that we love, right? Like, I don't know about you, but when you give someone a gift, you like them to like it. You want them to, like, man, you want them to enjoy it. You like seeing that look on their face as they open it, whether, you know, they're crying or maybe, for me, I like the gift to be so good they cry a little bit. You know, like, not just a smile, a couple tears. Like, oh, you knew just what I wanted. That's what I aim for. Like, I want to make you cry, baby, not just smile. But, you know, like, so here I am in this hoopty of a ride, and I'm just like, man, I want a new car, God. I want a new car. I started praying. I just believe God spoke to my heart because I had looked into it before about like, hey, look into, because it was going to be expensive to fix my car, and I've been having some problems over and over, and I just felt like God put it on my heart to look into what I could do legally because I got a lemon. There's like, I would get these like junk mail things in my mailbox about the lemon law, and it's like, it felt like they were reading my mail with the mail. Like, do you have a 2011, 12, or 13 such and such car? And I was like, are you experiencing these problems? Bum, bum, bum. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. That's my car. Like, heck yeah, that's what's happening. So it's not just me. And so, you know, I reach out to these attorneys, and long story short, over a process of a long month, I get this letter 5 weeks ago. The manufacturer has decided to settle on your case. And more time goes by, you know, the legal system. Sorry, Dad. You know, it takes forever. My dad's a lawyer, so like these lawyers, man. So it takes a long time. It took five or 6 weeks, and now I'm just waiting. Any day now, I should be getting a date that I surrender my car, and then 5 to 7 business days after that, then I can go actually get a check for my car, and then I'll have this check for my car and have a settlement. And I'm still believing. I'm believing. You know, we made some decisions about the money from the check and what we want to do, and we're trying to get out of debt and make sure that we can have a paid off car. But I'm believing that the amount that I have to pay for my car, it's going to get me double, man. Like, I'm just believing. Like, I just, like, okay, this is my budget, so I'm looking at cars above, because I feel like I'm like, hey, God said you got to give me a deal. I'm a child of God, so I get a 10% discount here, and then the dealership discount. That's just what I want to believe for. Call me crazy, but I just want to believe for it. I feel like God's going to meet me at the level of my expectation. So when you see a Benz out here, don't think it's because I'm balling. It's because I got a God that's balling. I got a discount on that mug, and I'll tell everybody about it. I'm not really planning on getting a Benz unless that's what God gives me. I ain't mad at you if you got a Benz. But I'm just saying, I just want to believe my level of expectation. I want to live my life like that in every area of my life. Not just in my finances. I know we talk about that seems like the measurable things. But in my relationships, I believe God can restore relationships that maybe that you've been like, you know, had at tiffs, or you haven't spoken with your brother or sister or parents in X amount of years or such and such. And you just have been believing for that relationship. What's the level of your expectation? Maybe it's just been like, well, it'd be nice if we could talk again. How about that you guys just fall in love again and you guys just have a great relationship and God does repairs it to what even more than what you could think. Like maybe you see a mother and a father and son relationship, like, man, that would be so cool. Man, if I could just have half that. Why half that? Have a greater relationship. Not that you're comparing, but have pray for such a bond and believe that God can do anything. Is God of God just the impossible in the Bible, or is he still the God of the impossible today? What do we want to believe for? Because these people had an encounter with Jesus. They had seen and witnessed encounters, and they were going to go after it. They were going to, man, there's Jesus. I've seen what he's doing. Let's get everybody. Let's go. They to line up the villages, to line up the towns. He would go to the marketplace. He would walk in, and there was just sick people lined up. What's in the water? Why all these sick people? I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? They believed that God would do it. Everyone that believed got healed. Everyone that went there, Jesus healed. Everybody all good? I just love that verse. Can we get that verse 56 up? Sorry, Mark 6:56. Just that last verse. And as many as touched him were made well. And as many as touched him were made well. The title of tonight's message is As Many That Will. As Many That Will. Because I believe that there is a choice. We can make decisions as believers. Even once we're saved, even once we're born again, once we've put our faith in Jesus Christ and decided to follow him, there are choices that we can make. We can choose to the extent of which we will follow. To the extent of our convenience, as long as it feels good for us, as long as he doesn't ask for too much of us, as long as no one asks me to volunteer, oh my gosh, I don't want to text anybody. As long as no one asks me to give my money, oh my gosh, I work hard for that money, don't they know? As long as they don't ask me to raise my hands or clap during work, I just don't like it. I don't want people to look at me. The decision to follow Jesus has follow-up decisions. Just like the decision to get married, right? You or to date someone. Let's go back. I know there's not as many married people in here. But you decide to go on a date with somebody. Well, then you get to decide if you want to go on a second date. Or you want to decide if you want to, you know, follow up that second date or do I want to hold their hand? Or is it just like, hey, high five? Or is it at the end of the day, is it side hug? Or is it like, okay, this might be something, right? Or do we get friend zoned as Brian's? Maybe we've been in the friend zone. Anyone been? No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I won't do that to you, everybody. I've been friend zoned before, by my wife. No, just kidding. Where's my? I said last week she knew she wanted to marry me before I did. But she's not here. Oh, now I'm in trouble. I heard the moans. Oh no, just rewind. I keep getting myself in trouble. Dang it. All right, so here they are. They were laying before him. My question, because everyone that they laid before him, he made well. What are you laying before God tonight? What mat are you laying down before the Lord to be healed? What physical sickness do you have? What addiction? What area of your life are you bringing? So it's talking about they would bring them the word there, that it would bring them in their pallets or their mats. And we see in other areas when Jesus saying, when Jesus healed, he was like, pick up your mat and walk. Because the mat represented what they knew, what they were. They would come, they would bring their mat, they'd roll it out. That's where they laid down, and they would kind of get the alms for the poor. So whoever they bring people on their pallets or their beds, and all of them got healed. What mat are we bringing with us? What are we laying out before God? That if God came by, on a night tonight where his presence is just so awesome and we celebrate that and, oh my gosh, God, you are here in this place and you are here where you said you would be in your house and as we worship you, you inhabit the praises of your people, and that's awesome. But what are we willing to lay out before him? Because the Bible said anyone that was out got healed. What do you want to allow God to touch in your life? See, because a lot of us, again, we keep those things off limits. Hey, God, but don't mess with my club visits, though, because I still like that. Or, but I like to vape. Do I still got to stop vaping? Or whatever it might be for you. Hey, weed is legal, though. So am I, what do you think? I don't know. Pastor, is it okay to, I don't, it's the law. What don't we want to allow him to touch? What are we allowing him to put before us? Or what are we allowing to, what are we putting out for God to heal, for God to touch? That's available. We have permission to say, you know what, God, I can't handle this. I don't want this weight anymore. I don't want this mat. Remember, the mat represented a sickness, represented a handicap. It represented a you were set different. You had a challenge. What challenges do we need to overcome that we just have yet to be able to lay before him? I don't know. I can't answer all those questions. I gave a few examples. Maybe some of those are you. I know what challenges I have, and I know which ones are harder to... All right, God, you're here. Which ones are the harder ones that I got to put this mat down? But I just know if I put it down, you're going to heal it. And then guess what? I don't need the mat anymore. Why I need a mat? I'm not sitting on the side of the curb. I don't need a mat. But that mat became their identity. And, oh, I want this mat. And I decorated my mat. You see people with their cast. People signed my mat for me. And as someone put a decoration, there's a heart on there with an arrow. My girl wrote on there. That's their identity. But people know me by this. Or people know me by that. That's just, I mean, people know when I go, wherever I go, the party turns up. And I love that. And people, oh, yeah. I don't know. Am I too old to say turn up? I don't know. I feel like older people say it, so I can too. I'm trying to stay relevant, guys. Trying to stay relevant. You know, the kids these days. Just kidding. What? I don't know. So anyways, it's okay to laugh, right? We good? We with family? You know, an encounter with Jesus always allows the Lord to go before you. You know, because, you know, we saw Jesus already had a reputation of healing people. So when they saw, as soon as he anchored, that's Jesus. Hey, that's Jesus. Mass text, Jesus just landed. Spread the word. Jesus just landed. People start lining up the heels. Bring them. Bring Bobby. Bring all of them. Anyone who's sick, you have a cough, go. That's a rash. No, it's just like a mosquito bite. Oh, go. Jesus will heal it. Line them up. Get your mat. Go. So they're bringing, I mean, the word is spreading. They knew what Jesus can do. What does this mean for us? You know, I had an opportunity, and this is not a boast. I just had an opportunity to step out a little bit. I was getting some air in my tire. And so I just, you know, I hope, does anyone ever pay for air? I don't ever pay for air because they got to give it to you for free. You got to walk in and be like, hey, can I get the air on, please? Thank you. I don't even walk in all the way. Can you turn on the air, please? Turn on the air, thank you. They know me already. It's like, get some air. I have a leaky tire. Remember this, I'm not investing into this lemon. I'm not going to put any more money. So it leaks. I just put some air, do it again. So they know me by now. I put air, lots of air in my tires. So I'm getting some air in my tire. And so I walk in. I just do the, hey, get some air thing. I don't even walk all the way in. I'm telling you. And there was this guy. And then I walk in, or I walk out to the air. I'm putting air. And I realize that the guy that was at the counter was parked at the tire thing as well. I did see a car there, but I didn't know what, you know, there was no one getting air. So I felt like I cut in front of him. So I was like, oh, my bad, man. And we kind of just sparked up a conversation. Hey, oh, my bad. Yeah, cool. He's like, oh, no worries, man. Take your time. And I put some air, and I started to drive out. And I just felt that tug, like, ugh. Like, you got to step out, bro. Jesus talks to me like that, bro. But, oh, son, you got to step out, son. So I was like, I put it in reverse. I didn't really but I came back. I might have bumped over the curb a little bit, made it more awkward. Crap. And I just parked, and I was like, hey, excuse me. And I kind of talked to him, and I was like, hey, I wanted to pray for him. I felt like, you know, God wanted me to pray for him. Like maybe he had something, like he just felt like there was something heavy on him. And so I asked if I could pray for him. He's like, yeah, man, I have a case. I just want to be free. If I could be free, I can provide for my family. He had a daughter in his car and a significant other. And It was a woman, but I don't know if it was a wife or not. No, he was just, I got to clarify. So he had a daughter and then his fiance, wife, girlfriend, I don't know, baby mom. And I'm not trying to be funny. Sorry. To be PC. And he's starting to tell me, man, I was with my brother and he had a gun. And he didn't have a charge before, so they're trying to put it on me. And I just want to be free, man. I can't provide for my family if I'm not free. I don't want to go to jail. And I start to pray for him. I was like, hold on. Have you ever received Christ? What's that? What does that mean to be Christian? So we talk a little bit. And I asked him to repeat a prayer. I'm like, hey, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You know, the prayer is going to receive Jesus Christ in your heart. And he's like, man, I knew you were a Christian, man. I just knew Christians, man. Christians just have something about them. And it wasn't just talking about, but he was saying Christians. And what I'm saying is you go before him, right? Like it went before, it was good for me. So maybe that was one of you. Maybe you didn't lead someone in the Lord every day, but you told someone you were a Christian and they saw that you were happy. And so that made it a little bit easier for when I went to him to ask if I could pray for him and lead him to the Lord. He was ready because I've seen Christians and Christians are happy. And I could tell that you were a Christian because there was something about you. So you get what I'm saying? Like, that's what stepping out does. So it's not a loss of, oh, I didn't lead him to the Lord. I didn't close the deal. But you planted a seed. Your joy planted a seed. So someone can come along and water that seed, and someone else can come along and water that seed, and someone's going to lead that person to the Lord prayerfully. But if you're a Christian that's bitter all the time, and so I go to this guy, oh, I know Christians, because there's those people too. Oh, you Christians, you guys are this, 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 and that. But it so blessed me, because when he said, oh, you Christians, like I was like, what is he going to say? Right? Like, this could go either way, and this guy talked about having a gun in the car. I don't know. Right? And so, and I'll just finish the story because I thought it was really interesting. I'm leading, I do this prayer, and actually the girl in the car, let's just call her wife. Let's just call her wife. Can we do that? Let's just have them be married. His wife, I think she repeated the prayer too. I thought I heard her talking. But then I leaned over. Now, when I got there, the windows were down. There was a potent smell. We know where we're going, right? The smell was potent. It was. And then I look over and I talk to the wife and how's it going? And she was literally rolling a blunt while we're talking, right? Just like literally like, oh, separating stem, you know, like everything you need. We don't need to go into it. If you've been there, you know there. If you don't, good thing, right? But she was the whole shebang while we're talking, having a full on conversation. And then literally as she's like licking I couldn't make this up. The Swisher Sweet. She's like, I was like, hey, now that you receive Christ, you want to get into a good church, I invite you, I go to the Rock. And she's like, hey, what time are the services on Sunday? But, you know, I just say that like, man, I hope they come. We love them. You know, I ain't mad at them. I'm not mad at them. I ain't mad at you. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to convert them. I need to say, what are you doing? What, you better throw that away. You better go flush that down the toilet. Let God work on that with them. And I'm not saying that nothing's a sin, but I'm just saying that it's not my job. I feel like I did my job. I told them about Jesus. I told them who he was. We're planting seeds. And the idea is that Christians go, you know, it goes before us. Jesus goes before us and he makes a way. And you don't have to, me being a pastor had nothing to do with the idea that God spoke to me and challenged me to go. And if I'm putting a challenge up on that screen, I better do a challenge myself, right? So like, hey, we can, this, but this is available for everybody. It wasn't like, hey, I'm a pastor. Like around here, everyone's really good and honoring and you guys are always really nice. But I don't get discounts at the store for being a pastor. There's no pastor badge. I don't get like special service. Like, you know, people can be rude to me just like, you know, like I could be rude to people. You get what I'm saying? It's not like everyone knows and then everyone treats you accordingly. So we are all called to do this. We're all called to step out. And the idea is that what we can do, you know, I can go before and I could just be a good light. And then Brian's going to follow up and he's going to lead them to the Lord. I don't need the points to close the deal. You know what I'm saying? It's all of it goes on my credit anyways, right? Like that. Did you guys know that it all goes to your credit? God's keep in terms of score. Maybe there's some competitive people in here. Maybe that will help you out. God knows he's watching what you do. He sees the fruit of your labor. He knows what's going on. Sorry, I'm going a little bit long. We'll wrap up. I just want a few things that I wanted to share. Because I just thought that was so many, as many as were laid out were healed. And the title again, as many that will. As many that will. As many in this room that will put out their mat. As many in this room that are willing to do what God calls us to do. As many in this room that know that God wants to heal you, that God wants to save you, that God wants to love you. He doesn't want to shame you. He's not trying to bring up your past. He's not trying to bring up your dirt or expose all of your skeletons. He wants to love you. He wants to fix you. He wants to heal you. And by fix, I'm not meaning like, oh, you need all this change. By fix me, he wants to come in and just clean everything out. All those scars, all those wounds that you have, all those secrets that you don't want anyone to know about, God knows about them already. And he wants to touch you. If I could get the keys up here. I just have a few quick points that I wanted to share with you. Because if you see in that verse, it also talks about how they just wanted to touch the hem of the garment. They were asking, can we just touch the hem of his garment? Because the word had traveled. Right? They'd seen it. They'd seen other times when they just reached out and the power was available. That same power is available for all of us today. We talked about it last week. We have been invited to be included on the power that God has given us. Because Jesus walked on water, but guess who also did? Peter. What was Peter? A disciple. What are we? Disciples. We are also included in that power. We are also included. And I'm not saying we should go around wearing a cloak and have people touch our hems. But I'm saying that we can believe. We can have that available to us. We can believe that people will be healed. We can believe that I'm going to go up to someone that maybe doesn't look like me. Maybe they're intimidating. Maybe they're not. Maybe they have tattoos. Maybe the car smells like weed. I don't know. But I can tell somebody about Jesus. Three quick points on how to maximize your encounter with Jesus. How to get the most bang for your buck. How to really just get all of what we can when we have an encounter with Jesus. Lay it down. Put down our hypothetical mats. So what's sick? What's dying in our life that we need healing in? Or what can we lay down that we don't? The other part of that is the mat that was our identity. What don't we need to be identified anymore that we don't need the mat? Right? What can we lay down that needs to be healed? And what can we lay down that God can just take away from us in terms of the mat? Because it's healed, I don't need it. That's number one, lay it down. Number two, reach out. You saw in that verse that they reached out for the hem of his garment. If I could just reach out, grab onto the Lord, and know that what you're reaching for has the power to change you. Reach out like your life depends on it. Reach out like when you do, when you touch him, when you get access to him, it's going to work, right? It's going to affect, bring change in our life. It's not a like, oh, Hail Mary. It's a sure thing. Grab onto Jesus. That's a sure thing right there. That's your best bet. Last one, receive. Receive that healing. Receive that change. And this one sounds so self-explanatory. It sounds easier than it is. But again, I feel like we talk ourselves out of it so much because we don't deserve it, or we've identified ourselves by it. Or we get buyer's remorse. You know, like when you buy something, I've spent so much on that, or I've done that. Like, I can't do it anymore. But we don't receive it. We don't let it kind of be what it's going to be for us. We explain it away, or that was just that one time, or that was just this or that. Receive that healing. Receive that change. Receive that blessing. Receive that gift. And expect. How big is your God? How big do you want to allow him to be in your life? Are you only going to bring him so many jars, so many issues? Or are we going to keep it flowing? Because we need that anointing. We need that power. When I was preparing for the message, you know, it's kind of like, all right, God, what do you want to say for your people? But I asked another question too. What do you want to say? But also, what do you want to do within us to empower us to do what you ask of us? Because again, Shift, we're not going to be people that warm seats. We're not going to be people that play church. That's just not the kind of culture we're going to be. We have a culture around, we're going to celebrate what he does. We're going to love people. It's not like a club. Only if you've led 5 people to the Lord, you can come. That's not what I'm saying either. But we're going to be people who are about it, right? We're going to, you know, there's people who talk about it. We're going to be people who are about it, right? Because we know that what God has done, and we know what he wants to do. And we know that he allows us to be a part of what that looks like. So we want that buy-in. So I pray that tonight there was that challenge. And I want to leave you with a formal challenge. Right? So take some time for these questions. I have a question. And think about it. Envision them in your head or pray about it. The first question is, what can you lay down? What can you lay down? What do you need to lay down? Maybe ever since the beginning when I referenced it, you the list started of what you maybe need to lay down. And that's great. And then the second question is, whose mat? This is that action one. This is that stepping out one. Whose mat can you help lift? So, because it says they brought them to Jesus. People brought them to Jesus. If they were lame, they couldn't have got themselves there. Who can you help lift up? And I'm not saying go point out people. Hey, you're sick right here. You got to do this. Hey, you have that problem. No. But who's crying out for help? Who needs to be carried to the feet of Jesus? Whose mat can you help lift? Maybe that, you know, take some time. Maybe there's a person that comes to mind. Maybe there's a family member. Maybe there's a friend, a coworker that comes to mind. That you want to pray, God, show me how I can help them. Show me how I can carry them to you. Show me how I can help them lift their mat. See, these are the encounters. When we say what now, this is what's now. We encounter you, Jesus, and it puts us into action in our life. It was more than a sermon. It was more than a worship song. It was more than the goosebumps. It was the change that I'm allowing in my life. Did you guys get something from the Word of God tonight? Come on.